Today's broadcast is brought to you by the new film we're working on called Buck Breaking. And you guys can be a part of that film by going to Kickstarter and joining the campaign. When you go to Kickstarter, you can just type in Buck Breaking, or you can go to buckbreakingmovie.com. Again, that's buckbreakingmovie.com. That's going to be the follow-up after we release Hidden Colors 5 this summer. We're going to go right into production of that. And if you're watching us live on YouTube, you can just click the button right below, ladies and gentlemen. And over here, we have our lovely, lovely, lovely co-host. We have Miss Layla. How are you, Layla?
Hey, Tariq. I'm good. How are you?
Yes, you're looking real whiny, whinish.
Thank you, y'all. Whinish. I'm trying to step it up a little bit.
Yes, indeed. And we have over here Miss Bree Arie. How are you, Bree Arie?
I am excellent, Mr. Tariq
Nishi. I know. I was like, why are you saying it like that?
I'm enunciating the hell out of it.
Oh,
you did? How are you? You're looking nice and breezy today, Bree.
Thank you. I'm feeling easy and breezy.
There you go. Man, so with my man Chingy is coming in. He's going to be on the show today. So we're waiting on Chingy to come on through. He should be in shortly. And while we're waiting on Chingy, let's see what's in the news over here. Bree, what's happening in this news out here in the streets?
I just actually noticed, I know you guys, we were talking about how Nick Cannon said he was going to step up and finish what Nipsey started, basically, with the Dr. Sebi documentary. And he's sticking to his word. He's already met with Dr. Sebi's first wife.
Yep.
As well as other members of his family. And they're getting everything together. And, you know, the marathon continues. And I just appreciate him being a black man and stepping up and doing exactly what he said he was going to do. Because it needs to happen. It needs to happen for the community. It needs to happen for the culture. Dr. Sebi work cannot go unnoticed.
Absolutely.
It needs to continue. So shout out to Nick Cannon for being a real, real stand-up black man.
Yes, indeed. Shout out to Nick Cannon. They really thirsting over Bree. I'm seeing a bunch of cleavage talk. They were like, oh, God. Okay, oh, y'all listen to what she's saying. I'm looking at
the turtleneck.
Lord.
Is it hanging out? Wait, let me see.
Lord, they were like, oh.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Okay. They were like, look at them breasticles.
The
thirst is real in the chat room right now. I'm like, oh, my God.
Oh, boo. You're so boring. Yeah.
That helped.
Lord.
I can't help it. I'm sorry.
Let do you with it. Let it do you.
Yeah, let him breathe. What's the big deal?
So, Layla, what else is happening out here in the
news? What do you guys think about, I'm kind of piggybacking off what Bree was saying with the Nipsey Hussle thing and everybody is keeping the marathon going. Did you guys see the new court that they build?
That was
really, 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 really nice. So everybody's like getting on it super fast. But another thing that kind of happened, did you guys hear about Reggie Bush and Karen Civil?
Yeah, Reggie was raising money for the family, for Nipsey's family. And Karen Civil said, yeah, the family don't need money, don't do that. And he kept doing it. Is that right?
Yep, he kept doing it. She's like, please take down the tweet. We don't need, because see, the thing is this. It's like Nipsey already has a trust fund for both of his kids. So basically they're saying, we don't need the money. Thank you, but no thank you.
Mm.
So I don't know. How do you guys feel about that? Is it like, and it was only $100,000, and I'm sure, you know what I mean?
Really don't know how to feel in this situation for them to say we don't need it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It comes off a little ways.
So do you think,
obviously people are giving from their heart. They feel compelled to give.
Right.
But if they give it to you and you don't need it, then you put it towards something else that you feel like it should go towards. Like
be a charity or something.
Yeah, some type of charity or towards the community or something. You know what I'm saying? Like
right.
It can go somewhere. But I think in those instances, I don't know. I just don't know unless I'm in that situation.
I feel like when people die that's really, really close to you, you're just sensitive in general. So you're not really thinking. You're just sensitive. You know, any little thing can, like, come off a bad way. You're just sensitive. So you're like, look, we don't need the money. I'm just, like, I don't want to think about that. I think it's more that than anything. Maybe as time passes on, they'll realize, oh, you know, it wasn't a bad. I don't think he meant any harm, but I think it's maybe too soon to be starting GoFundMe.
Because I saw
it's a little too soon.
I saw something,
Reggie,
that said Jay-Z started a fund for his kid,
and that was
fake.
And they said it was fake, right?
Yeah.
But it's like, I mean, that's something I would expect from Jay-Z. And you know what I'm saying? And if Jay came with the money, it's like, oh, we don't need it though.
Well, it almost looks like Nipsey didn't set up any. I think they kind of took it as, look, you're acting like Nipsey wouldn't set up his kids. Like, he's smarter than that. Exactly. And I think it comes off like, look, you think my husband or whatever didn't set anything up for his kids? We don't need it because, yes, he's smart enough to do that. Maybe it was that. Like that. I don't know.
I would just repurpose it. If it's a gift and, you know, you want to give out the kindness of your heart for what happened, I would just repurpose it to something positive.
And they were kind of making it seem like Reggie was going to get the paper and pocket it himself or something, the way they were acting.
Like, that's, he hard up for money, though. Come on.
I know. The way they were acting. So it just seemed weird. And also, they were talking about Reggie was on one of these sports shows. I think he was on some We Gotta Stop the Black Crime. So some people saying he was on some of that Butter Biscuit talk, too. So that threw a lot of folks off.
I could see him being on Butter Biscuit, a little lightweight Butter Biscuit.
Yeah.
A little lightweight.
Yeah, a little bit, just a little bit. Some gluten-free butter. not the full butter, but just a little gluten-free butter on your biscuits. Just a little bit.
He said gluten-free butter.
Man, so Bree, what else is happening out here, dear?
Messy Wendy Williams and her husband. Lord Jesus, it's messy already.
Yes.
I feel like they didn't get back together. He didn't have a kid. They didn't got a divorce. He didn't moved out. And all in 1 week. Do it feel like that to your heart?
Yeah, man.
It's moving so expeditiously. Like,
did you pull out the expeditiously on the ass?
T.I. been in my ear lately. Oh.
T.I.
be killing me with the wordplay. That brother has the vocabulary.
You gotta respect it.
Yeah, he does.
You gotta respect it.
I don't understand how they gonna try to reciprocate into the conglomeracy of this game. I love T.I. We gotta get T.I. on the show.
Yes,
you gotta come through, T.
All the shit he be dropping.
So with Wendy, she filed divorce finally. Because this dude, from what I've been hearing, had all types of side pieces and all, just side babies, just doing everything under the sun.
It's going crazy.
There was something about some dude.
That's
what did you hear about that, Layla?
Layla got the juice.
Okay, so it's this guy named
Barney. His name was Barney.
Oh my God, he would not let that go.
He would never let that go.
Oh my God. No, it's this guy named Avion Foster, and he used to be Wendy Williams and Kevin's artist.
Yeah.
So he was telling a little story about how him and Kevin had a little rendezvous.
Shut up.
Damn. On everything. And he didn't, it's like, I can't see him lying because he involved himself. Like,
He didn't say
Kevin tried to come on to me and I backed up. He said, no, we gave each other head.
Oh, yeah. He went into detail.
Yeah, this dude went into detail. Like, I'm like, well, shit.
Detail, like we both did it in the booty to each other. So I'm like, why would he put his own self out there for a lie? That makes zero sense. He was going into heavy detail.
Yeah, he was.
We was in the clay room. We were in the steam room. We got in the tub together. I mean, it was pretty detailed.
So, and her husband was only the executive producer of her show. Is that what it was? Because he just got fired.
Without it, there's no love.
Well, that's how he was sounding in the clay room. but she fired him, right?
She just fired him as the executive producer of her show. But, like, what else is he doing? Because why do you have all this time to be out here cheating like this?
My God.
Does he have money of his own? Or is he just making money of managing Wendy and getting that percentage money?
Yeah, and Charlamagne had a lot of bad words for this guy.
Really? Because he doesn't have a lot of good stuff to say about Wendy either, though.
Yeah. But Charlamagne was like, this dude tried to sabotage his career. This dude has always been trying to undermine him. So Charlamagne was like, F this dude.
Right.
You know, so I got to ask Charlamagne, what the hell is going on with this guy?
This
guy's a real piece of work from what I understand.
Well, Kevin was saying that supposedly he didn't like Charlamagne because he seen, like, way back in the day some text messages that Charlamagne was sending Wendy as if Charlamagne wanted to get with Wendy. Oh, you know, or some flirting.
Oh, Lord, he got nerdy, man.
Charlamagne was like, hell no. Charlamagne had to clear that up.
Yes,
like,
yes.
No, not true, fake news. So I believe Charlamagne on that because I don't know. I don't think Charlamagne got to go that route.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
I don't
exactly.
think he's that.
So y'all think Wendy ready to get out here like?
So y'all, hey fellas, she's single and ready to mingle. Wendy Williams is single and ready to mingle, guys.
I wonder if she gonna jump back in the game.
Would
like
you
that,
hit
though.
That? If you were single,
Lord, no. It's Chingy's fault. There's big niggas walking up in here. All right. Come on in. What's up? We back here. What's up, fam?
Hello.
What's up? Come on, Chief.
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing, bro?
Hey. What's up?
We live now. Have a seat right there in the middle, brother. Okay. Right. What's going on? Y'all have a seat out there, fam. What's up? Good to see you, brother. I'm here. What's up, bro? Good to see you, bro. Player, what's happening? Good to see you.
Reflection, I was like,
"What's up?" We got Chingy in the building. What's up? Shout out to my brother Chingy.
What's up? What's up?
My man. How you been, brother?
I'm good, man. I can't complain. I'm blessed. I'm her.
Yes, he's her. He's her.
Yes, bring that St. Louis.
Man, we got so many things to go into. First of all, I appreciate you having me down at the concert the other night, man. I had a great time with you, brothers.
Man,
it was beautiful, man. Layla was there. Sunday,
there
Sunday,
too.
Sunday.
Concert.
She went Sunday. Nice. Did you go to the bathroom? Yeah. Does he want a snack? That's a big thing, right?
Yeah.
We got some graham crackers
that's
for
a
his
silverback.
Ass.
He probably wants it now.
Yeah, I met him the other night. Good dude. So she. Where do you live now? You lived out here for a minute.
I live in St. Louis.
Okay, you still live in St.
Louis,
Missouri. Okay.
Now. Yeah, still there. I used to be out here so much, like months on months on months, so it was like I lived out here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I'm thinking about
you see you all over the place. You be at Mel's Diner all over the place.
Oh, yeah. I used to love Mel's Diner. That was back when I was eating meat, too.
Yeah, my man.
I was up in there. I probably would not go there right now.
Man, where'd y'all go the other night? We were supposed to go out after the show.
Yep.
I told y'all to go to Roscoe's. That was the only thing I knew that was open.
Oh, yeah.
Where'd y'all go?
There we go. We went to Berry's.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's the spot. Yeah. That's the spot. Yep.
I used to love Berry's.
How long have you been vegan?
Probably about 8 years now.
But vegetarian.
Really? Vegetarian has been vegetarian has been probably about 13.
Wow.
14.
What made you say what made you want to go that route and have the discipline to go that route?
What made me go that route and have the discipline? I don't really appreciate the killing of animals. I don't really like to consume flesh. I don't, you know, I just don't think it's cool. Those animals got siblings just like me.
So you don't want to eat a chicken's cousin. So.
Yeah. And you know that's not. I mean, to each his own. Though.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But that's unconditional. Since I was a kid, okay. When we all kids and your mother take you to McDonald's, you're not thinking about nothing but you hungry.
Exactly.
So when you get you a burger, you just hungry.
Yep.
Well, as I grew myself and, you know, accumulated some knowledge and grew, I just decided that wasn't for me. I'm cool on that. I don't want to eat no flesh. I'm good.
When you started doing it, did you have any withdrawals? Were you going back and forth with it?
You know what? Actually, I'm real big on disciplining myself mentally, and so I challenged myself, and so I actually stopped on my. I did it. I made sure I did it on my birthday.
That's good.
Some years ago, I made sure I did it on my.
What do you
birthday.
Do for protein now? Because I was thinking about.
Everybody asks that.
No, seriously, because I'm
everybody asks that. Everybody asks that.
No, because I'm vegetarian, but I'm not vegan, and I was thinking about, okay, so what am I gonna do for protein? But
didn't you have a chicken taco a couple of weeks ago?
Well,
she got her. That's how she got the protein.
Well, I'm a fake. Okay, so fake vegetarian. So I eat chicken.
I'm a vegetarian, but I eat chicken.
I eat chicken, but I want to give it all up. I just don't eat beef or pork. But I'm like, what am I gonna do for protein? Because I do eat chicken.
Yeah, I'll just take a supplement. Like a little vegan supplement.
Okay. Protein powder.
Or something. Yeah,
okay.
I take a little supplement. Okay, black beans is a good source of protein.
A lot of plants have a lot of protein. That's how animals get their protein, by eating plants.
Yeah.
So it's so funny that so many people question it in vegans.
I just remember when I was vegan for 2 weeks, I lost all my ass. I didn't have no ass. What happened? And as soon as I started eating protein, it came back.
Do you work out?
I do, and that's why I need protein.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Now, you lift weights or just cardio, calisthenics?
I lift. I do like this circuit training.
Yeah.
Where I have a regimen that's about 6 to 8 exercises and do like a set of setting reps of that whole circuit and do it like 3 times. And that's how I get my cardio in too. I'm constantly moving, so I get the cardio in that way. And
how's everybody staying in shape on the tour? Everybody on the tour looked like they were excellent shape, man.
I hope they are working out. Like I work out every morning.
How you do that on tour,
brothers? I discipline myself mentally.
At the hotel? I mean, where?
The hotel.
Okay.
Gotta do it at the hotel.
Okay.
It at the hotel. So I make sure. I ask them to make sure the hotel's standing. Possibly got the gym in it. You know, and I know some other exercises just in case I ain't got no gym. I hit some push ups, mm-hmm. do some stuff, and mm-hmm. get it in.
Just in case the promoter have y'all at the Super 8, and there's no, yeah. and there's yeah. no gym at the Super 8.
I'm like, on one.
Oh, and the promoters are chill.
And promoting
them. Who's the promoter of this concert?
G-Square.
G-Square, okay. Yeah. Okay. How long you been working with those guys?
Just this tour. They do a lot of tours. I know they did some with Charlie Wilson, Patti LaBelle, Keith Sweat, Ginuwine, Tank and them, but they do a lot of stuff. And I just kind of met them on this tour. A friend of mine from Atlanta hit me and was like, man, I know some people that want to get you on this tour.
Oh, cool.
And so I was like, oh, cool, man. Put them in touch with me. And I take it from there. He put them in touch with me. It was like, yeah, I got this tour. Woo-woo-woo. I put them through my road manager and them. Mm-hmm. Handle the business the proper way. Make sure it get done. Because a lot of people, they want to talk to me, and it's like, certain stuff I don't deal with. And I messed up shows and everything trying to have things go through me. So I like it to go the proper channels. And send it to my road manager and everything, got it hooked up, and I'm on the tour.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
It seemed inevitable, though. Like, how can you have... A tool with B2K and everybody else, and not have Chingy though.
And
not
you know, the era but of music. But you know what? I didn't mean to cut you off. This was as you can see, is mostly R&B acts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was just supposed to be Pretty Ricky, Mario, and B2K.
Mm-hmm.
That was the tour.
Yeah.
But I guess the promoter them wanted to add some hip hop, some rap, some excitement, some hypeness, some crunk, some partying. So I guess that's how the rappers came on.
Yeah, you and Yin Yang, yeah.
But for us, Bobby and Lloyd, they R&B as well. So I guess they say, well, you know what we're going to do? Seven acts.
Yeah.
So it can be it's it can a good be a package. Little
package. Such a good show.
Yeah, because sometimes I start the show off. So by the time I go out to Mario, on some sets, you know, people enjoying it, but the hypeness is not all the way there all the time.
But they
still enjoying themselves, and they love the artists in this.
I know when I went the other night to kick it with y'all, man, when I showed up to the venue, there was an ambulance taking some chicks up out of
there.
Yeah, wow. I'm like, damn, they wearing these motherfuckers out already.
They probably fainted, you know, Pretty Ricky. They damn near have sex on the show.
Yeah. They do. I was like, what is happening?
Man.
But that's, I mean, you know, that R&B group, man, that's what they do. They please the ladies, so I guess in detail, they like to... show that.
Yeah. Now let's go back, man. Now, how did you get your start in St. Louis? In St. Louis, how did you get a buzz to get the first deal you got?
How did I get my because I a lot of people be thinking that I'm like an overnight success when I came out with Right There, and that's just not true. So how did I get my start? First, I started making music, writing my own music when I was like 6, 7 years old. This is 86.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I love music. And rest in peace to Michael Jackson, because that's why I'm Chingy, period. He's the reason I wanted
the
to
name
entertain.
Chingy. Where does the name Chingy come
the
from?
The name Chingy comes from, okay, me and my relatives and homeboys, you know, it's just like when you see somebody, you'll be like, oh, man, they balling. Mm-hmm. Or they getting it. We used to say, oh, damn, they Chingy. Mm-hmm. So we just put a Y on the cha-ching.
Okay. So that's like a little St. Louis thing.
Nah, it's just a me and my cousins.
You and your clique.
Friends, yeah.
Okay, y'all came
up
with
just something we said.
Okay.
And I liked the name, so I was like, I'm going to change it. And my name used to be Thugsy.
Okay. Thank God.
Yeah, I know, right? So let me tell you how I got that. Now, back when I was like 15, of course, I come from the inner city ghetto hoods. It's like the regular young black males out here.
Yeah.
I used to have braids, and I used to always wear like Chuck Taylor's Dickies, and I used, you know, little street dude. But I used to love Bugsy Siegel.
Okay.
So okay.
Tell me something.
So my father was a real big street dude in St. Louis, yeah, and all of that. And so you know, both sides of my family come from this street lifestyle. And my father always taught me to be, you know, you be a gentleman, but you still can be a gangster when you need to be. So mm-hmm. he always taught me to move in silence and do things a little different. So he always had me watching gangster movies.
Like what? Like Scarface?
Scarface, the Bugsy Siegel.
The old school ones, okay.
Godfather and all okay. that. So, but I liked Bugsy Siegel. It was something about Bugsy. I thought he was smooth.
Right. He's a businessman,
so
with it, right.
My brother and them called me Lil' H Thugs. That was my thing, because I always looked like a little thug with my braids and stuff. No, this is real.
Yeah.
And so I liked Bugsy Siegel, so his name was Bugsy. So I said, you know what? Maybe I could call myself Thugsy.
how fast did that come and go?
Lord.
Yeah. So I'm just telling you, know, the beginning.
Now, what woke you up saying, let me not use no goddamn Thugsy.
How do we get that one off the table?
What woke me up on that was, I was like, you know what? I need to make more commercial music.
Oh, there you go.
More commercial songs and do more stuff commercial to get on the radio.
Yeah.
And so Thugsy was just not, it's going to cut for me. You know what I'm saying? And so basically, I say that to say, man, I started doing music in 86. I got in the studio, created my first mixtape when I was in 89.
Okay.
I started performing different venues and stuff out of the state in St. Louis when I was like 11, 12. I put out my first local CD when I was 15 years old.
Okay.
And just kept on grinding. And 2002 is when I got my record deal with Disturbing the Peace / Capitol Records.
Okay.
December 14th, to be exact, 2002.
Oh, so you were signed to Ludacris label.
I was signed to Ludacris label.
How did you meet Ludacris?
Actually, a lot of people don't know this, but Ludacris' business partner and manager, Chaka Zulu,
I remember Chaka,
is how I got on Disturbing the Peace.
Okay.
I remember me and my producers, the Track Stars, we just working on music. We created a 6-song demo. We sent it off to Def Jam. We sent it off to Interscope. We sent it off to a lot of people. Zoe, one of the producers, he had a relationship with Chaka, so we sent it to Chaka too. Okay. Right There was on this CD, but it was just the hook and the first verse. I wrote that hook and first verse for Right There in 96.
So that was old.
I never finished it. Nah, okay. It was totally old. And I remember the Track Stars giving me the beat CD. They popped in to let me listen to some tracks. That was the first beat that came on. I was like, I got something to that. Go to the next beat. So that song was literally like started at 96. And this is 2002 we talking about. And Chaka said, have them finish that record. The other ones I think was done. But he was like, have them finish that record. And so I finished that record. We got it mixed and mastered. And along with Chaka, we printed it up. This one vinyl was just about to really go out.
Okay.
Vinyl records.
Right.
We printed up, got a lot of vinyl printed up.
Now, were you signed at the time? This was it before you were signed?
Disturbing the Peace.
Okay, you just signed.
Working with Disturbing the Peace.
Okay, got it.
And this is, now I'm going to give you the time frame of how this all happened, because this was literally 2002, October.
Okay.
I got my deal December 14th.
So
in that span of time, we pressed up the record. Chaka made some moves at radio in Atlanta and a couple places he knew, because him and Chris Ludacris, they was in that field of the, you know, radio personality.
Yeah.
And so we was getting the record played a little bit, and it was getting a little buzz, and Capitol Records jumped on it. December 14th, I got the record. And when I tell you that span of time, literally we put together a demo in October. Sent it off. I had the deal December 14th.
Crazy. 2 months.
Wow.
Did you ever work with Nelly early on in your career? Because I know you're both St. Louis artists.
You know, Nelly. I was a young artist in St. Louis that everybody knew for rapping. Like, no bullcrap. It was only a few back in 89,
right,
90. Trust me when I tell you, Nelly Nem wasn't really on the scene at that point.
Right.
Nelly Nem came on the scene more like in 93-94. It was a producer by the name of Tarboy who produced Jaquan when he came out with his hit Everybody in the Club Getting Tipsy.
St. Louis. St. Louis had a whole little vibe going on for a minute, man.
And so Tarboy, I've been knowing since I was like 11-12. We used to always go over his house. A little homeboy of mine who I was in a group with, Misfit, we used to always go over his house because I was a homeboy, work on music with him,
right,
and stuff. So Murphy Lee, Keywan, Spud, and Nelly used to come over there. We all be on the same thing, trying to get beats from him. So they used to come in, and I'm at this time I'm 13, and we used to all be trying to get beats from him, but I didn't know them. But that's how I met Murphy Lee and Keywan, who I stayed in touch with, and Spud.
Yeah.
Who Spud that went to jail, that's on the song, If You Wanna Come and Take a Ride with Me, on the last verse. Nelly, like a brother to Nelly, he went to jail. right when Nelly and them got their deal.
Okay, okay.
But right when before Nelly and them got their deal, Spud's a close friend of mine. That local album I'm talking about we put out, Spud produced like 8 tracks off there. I used to work with him constantly.
Okay.
So this is people, we all know each other in this little circle. But that's how I met Nelly Nim, because we used to always go for Tar Boy House in like 93.
Now didn't you and Nelly and those guys kind of have a little falling out?
You know what? Yeah, it was a falling out that
now
happened.
What was that about?
I'm gonna keep it all the way real. That was just about hatred in crews. Some people not wanting to see certain people shine and come up.
Really? What about the misfit guy that was in your group? Didn't Nelly sign him or something like that?
How you
I did my research.
People don't be knowing stuff like that.
I did my research.
Wow, you did your research.
I was hardcore. Because
that local CD I'm talking about, we had a group called Without Warning.
Yeah.
And that was me, my homeboy Mike, and my homeboy Misfit, who she talking about. And I actually taught him how to rap when we was 12.
Misfit.
Okay. Yeah, it's my little homie. He didn't know how to rap. I taught him how to rap, and we. And yes, but I'm gonna tell you, they strategically did that to use him. That was my best friend.
Wow.
But you know how when you grow, he didn't grow though.
Gotcha.
I grew mentally. He wasn't growing. He stayed the little immature guy he was.
Yeah.
And when you're in a group, everybody got to be on the same page. You're not on the same page, trust me, it's not going to work out. Mm-hmm. As you can look and see how all these groups in the hip hop and all this stuff, how things transpire.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so that was a strategic move on their part to, I guess, try to get me mad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like they was trying to play chess and stuff, but it didn't work out because eventually he got off the label. He didn't mess with them, and it just a lot of stuff, man.
Wow.
It didn't work out.
Now, what happened with you and Disturbing the Peace? Didn't a little fallout happen with that?
What happened? I'm giving it to you raw and real. This is exactly how these things happen. I have no reason to sugarcoat nothing. This is exactly how stuff happened. I lead by experience. What happened with Disturbing the Peace, in which was it's a great crew, great clique. I just was in Atlanta chilling with them at the DTP offices.
Oh, good.
It's family, but sometimes family can be dysfunctional.
I'm
going to tell you what happened. So, rest in peace to my mother. She was like, I needed my own lawyer. And she was right.
Of course.
And so, she got this guy, I ain't going to say his name, but this lawyer from St. Louis who didn't know what he was doing. He wasn't even an entertainment lawyer. He didn't know what he was doing, but put it that way. Now, I heard you have me, a kid I'm 24. I just think he's a lawyer and that he knows law and that he knows what he's talking about. I don't know nothing else. I'm thinking he knows what's going on. He didn't know what's going on. He instantly accused Disturbing the Peace of stealing from me. Is it truth to that? No, not that I know of.
Okay.
But how I looked at it then was he a lawyer.
So he knows what he's talking about.
He must have found something. Oh, yeah. And he must know this. But so a meeting was called. Chaka Zulu, Nim, and everybody came to St. Louis. We sat there and we was talking. But I kept it real. I would tell them, Disturbing the Peace, ain't nobody ever done nothing to me. I never seen no shady play, no nothing. But keep in mind, I don't know nothing about business at this point.
Right.
I don't know nothing. I just know I'm doing what I love to do. I love doing music. I love doing videos. I love performing. I'm getting a nice check. Hey, everything's okay with me. So I didn't know the business. And so from that conversation at the lawyer's office, because he was just steady trying to say they were stealing from me, we didn't really get nowhere right then and there. So we kind of left and slowly stopped talking.
Okay.
Things slowly got broken off. I see him in passing, we'll talk. But then I was confused at this point.
Okay.
I was confused because I was like, I love them. Like, but they were stealing from me. I'm still confused because I don't really know. And so it kind of made communication break off where people just slowly stopped talking.
Right.
That's how that whole breakup happened.
Okay.
And that's literally how it happened.
And
this
crazy.
Is 2004.
Okay.
2006, I got back with Disturbing the
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know you officially got back with him. Okay.
Yeah, for my fourth album. And how that happened, we was all in Vegas. I think it was it Billboard Awards? It was something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Billboard Awards. We got a mutual homeboy that was doing some work for them. We ran into him on the elevator. He was like, man, Shaka and Chris and them in here, man. I think all y'all need to talk. Y'all need to sit down and talk. So everybody, man. So It's like, yeah, that's cool. So we went to Chris' room, and Jeff and Shaka and them was in there. Chris was in there. I was in there. We just talked it out. Mm. And then we went out after that. And then things just kind of slowly led to me getting back on Disturbing the Peace.
Now, that was cool. Yeah. That was cool.
So that, but I'm, it was cool, but it, I don't think it was a good move at that
point. So still wasn't a good move.
Okay. Well, probably strategically business-wise at that point. Okay. Because I was pulling me back was I had a number one record coming off with Pulling Me Back
with Tyrese.
And Tyrese.
Yeah.
And so, but Capitol was going in a slump at this point. Mm. It was going under at this point. They fired a lot of people. They was going under. So my lawyer was like, so what you want to do? You want to stay at Capitol? Disturbing Peace want to sign you? Trying to re-sign you to Disturbing Peace Def Jam? What you want to do? So
because Capitol got rid of the whole black music.
Yeah.
Section.
Your whole roster.
Yeah, yeah, the whole black music. Ain't no, yeah, yeah. At that time, they would get. I heard they got rid of the whole black music section.
They really did.
Yeah, yeah.
And they was going under that time.
Yeah.
And my lawyer was like, so, because we was kind of getting caught in that.
Mm.
I was coming. I had a number one record. I was on the chart 6 weeks at number one. Yeah. Pulling Me Back.
Yeah.
My album and everything, but they was it was going under because they was going. They didn't know what to do.
Right. Mm.
So my lawyer and us, we thought, okay, well let's all right, let's do the Disturbing Peace Def Jam. At this point, Def Jam, Disturbing the Peace was, they had a couple new artists and they was trying to promote the new artists and do this DTP compilation album. And it was, okay, basically worried about, you know, trying to get the new artists known while you had still Bobby Valentino, me, Ludacris, who were, you know, dominant forces. Mm-hmm. But I thought instead of trying to do this compilation album, if this is about kind of making money and everything, we need to do a Chingy, Bobby V, and Ludacris album. It was just stuff like that, but the timing was off.
Right.
And
right,
we all
right.
talked about this too. The timing was off.
Mm.
So that's when I was with the Disturbing the Peace from 06 to about 08.
Okay.
Again, no, we didn't really get off on bad terms or nothing. I personally wanted to leave. And I talked to Ludacris about this. And I was just like, because just right now, I'm not personally individualized. I'm not in a good space. And if my career is going to fail or have something like that, I'll just be the blame.
You're right. You don't want other people, you know.
Yeah. And mentally, I was going through a lot of things. I lost a couple homeboys.
Yeah.
I just got sick of the business and I wanted to chill out for a second.
No doubt.
And this is, yeah. And this is like, 07, 08. Mm. Now, with System Talk, I'm just going to keep it going. Mm. With this transvestite thing.
Yeah. Oh yeah, 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 yes.
Like, let me be choked. Yes,
I'm gonna keep it. No, I can't keep it. I'm gonna keep it authentic.
Yes,
I'm gonna keep it authentic, and because I don't got nothing to hide.
Right, 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 right.
In 09, this is when this happened. In 09,
yeah.
Now, that situation when I got back with Disturbing the Peace, me and Ludacris had a show in Chicago.
Okay.
The promoter had girls on stage in body paint. Dancing, you know, when the artists go out, the girls go out dance, do they look
talking to Mike, talk to him, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my fault.
No problem.
The girls would go out, do their thing, dancing and stuff. And so one girl who I thought was a girl,
yeah,
wanted a picture. She was nice, came, asked me for a picture and everything, and I took the picture. Mm-hmm. That was that.
Right.
Moving on.
The Sydney Star.
Exactly. 2 years later, this person said they had a two-year relationship with me, which let me know they actually timed this.
They actually timed it out
and was, you know. And so that's when that whole thing started.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know that person. I was being cool, nice, thought the person was a fan. They said they love my music. I took a picture.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I do.
And she created a whole story. And later she came and admitted that she lied.
She lied.
She admitted that she lied.
And
A lot of folks don't know that. Sydney Starr admitted that she lied. Did. She was clout chasing, so she admitted.
But do that turn totally. You off, like, to want to take pictures at all, like, from that point on? It's like, I don't really want
to. You know what? It will turn you off to make you not want to take pictures, and you'll be weary of people coming up, especially.
That's the Sydney Starr. Especially.
especially. And I don't mean this in no way, especially homosexual people or transgender people. It'll really make you look at them and be like, hold up.
Right.
They might try
show intent. Yes. Yeah.
But the painful thing for me in this situation was I lost a record deal.
Yeah. Okay, that
I lost a record deal that I worked on coming to California, getting on yachts, traveling with these people, eating fruit.
that made you go vegan. Wasn't no more meat, no more food.
Yeah, I'm losing weight. So yeah, man, traveling with these people, talking about this deal, doing this stuff, man. And then when that was so big.
Yeah.
It was so big socially and stuff, they didn't want to go through with it. Bull crap.
And what year was that? You said 2009.
This is 2009.
Was social media big?
Yeah, it was.
I was on the rise.
Yeah. So like Black Planet,
Twitter and stuff.
Twitter was popping.
It was YouTube. Everything was popping in.
MySpace was still popping.
Yeah.
I remember that story.
Even when she admitted that it was false and she was clout,
you can't unring a bell. You know what I'm saying?
The damage was kind of done.
Yeah, the damage was done.
A lot of people start hitting me up, DMing me and everything, apologizing for believing that.
Right.
And a lot of stuff. And I'm just me, man. I ask, but ain't nobody never seen me get them no reason to believe no stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But social media is so powerful. I could say right now, oh, yeah, Jay-Z messed with this girl or something. Yeah. I'm just making an example.
That's all you got.
And then that'll just spread.
Right. It's just crazy.
No evidence at all.
And plus, these people, they can make up anything, and there's no consequences for it.
Exactly.
They can just say anything, and,
Wait, could you have sued her? Or him?
Defamation of character or something. I could have. She ain't got nothing.
You ain't got nothing. That's the thing. She ain't got nothing.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying?
That's the thing.
But what about future? Like, if she had money in the future, or like, hey, I can garnish whatever she may make?
Actually, me being me, it was spilled milk. I know that person was just ignorant-minded and was they were trolling and trying to, that person reached out to me, and I forgave them.
Mm. Oh, wow.
That's big. That's big.
That is big.
Yeah. I wouldn't have gave.
Because by that time it had all happened, and that person got in touch with my road manager and just, kind of was explaining how sorry it was and this and that, and told me how they went about that and what happened and that. And so I just said, because as my grandmama, my mama and them told me, never hold a grudge.
Yeah.
And so I forgave the person for what it was on the apology of them towards me in that aspect. But, it was a messed up situation because, like I said, I lost a record deal. But I get back on track. I get back on track. I do me. I know me. Yeah. When I say I know me on the inside. And so I live my life a different way from a lot of people. I'm a self-thinker, and I know I create and invent. No doubt. I just do me. I go about my life and do me.
On this tour, you sold more records than a lot of people on the tour. You sold a hell of a lot of records. A lot of folks don't know. Your first album was 2x platinum?
It was actually like 4 now. Since then, went up from that. My second album, third album.
Yeah, I know. The second album was platinum. The third album, gold platinum. Mm-hmm. So, you sold a boatload
worldwide
of records.
Worldwide, I sold like 48 million records.
Wow.
Like, and people, I remember they used to tell me in Australia, like, they was like, you bigger than Jay-Z over here.
Really?
No,
man,
serious.
Man.
Seriously.
Amazing.
And I used to be like, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Do you still, tour internationally still? Yeah. There's a lot of money in these other countries. Yeah,
National money.
Actually, this tour is going overseas in
That's
September.
A word?
Wow.
Oh, damn.
I'm happy for all y'all.
Me too, man. Y'all selling these venues out, man. Y'all
killing it,
too. Yeah,
it's lovely, man.
That's a good show, man. That's a really, really good show.
But so, Chingy, I know a lot of people don't get the details of your life behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't really heard of too many people you've dated. I mean, certain people come up.
Yeah.
But we caught you on couples therapy a couple years ago.
Uh-huh.
Before that, Rudy Huxtable. What was going on with that? Keisha Knight Pulliam. What's going
on? Actually, that was just work.
Okay,
business.
Okay.
I know her brother.
Okay.
So when we shooting One Call Away, people had... Excuse me. How we looked at it.
He's burping up some bananas.
people hadn't seen her in a long time.
Yeah.
She was a grown Rudy and was beautiful.
Yeah. She got fine like, oh, damn,
and
Rudy.
This was actually Chaka's idea with like making it look like, we talk in a video. And he wanted to see people to see her, introduce her to the world in a grown light.
Okay.
So it made me look good as well. Like, did you see Rudy? Like, she look good now. Yeah, you see Chingy with her?
Yeah,
like, so
yeah.
It was a strategic move on Chaka part.
No doubt.
Which was smart.
That was cool.
But I never, me and Keisha.
Everybody call her Rudy.
And I liked her on the Cosby Show.
Yeah.
I wanted her to be my girlfriend when I was on the Cosby Show. But, We just cool.
Oh, that's
it. Never no date, nothing. We'll go out, drink, and have some fun because it's all like family. But never nothing like that.
Oh, that's good. So, that's good. So then what's now couples therapy?
Yeah,
go
who
ahead,
did you
Bri.
End up on couples therapy with? Her name was
Temple.
Temple, yeah.
Yeah, Temple was a friend of mine that I met. We was doing a celebrity basketball game, and she got a son. I think a son named Tyreek. I think his name
is my mama.
Taquan. No, my fault. My fault. Taquan, but he's a big actor
with my mom?
In Hollywood or something.
Taquan. Yeah. I gotta look that up. Okay.
He was on Everybody Hates Chris. He was the big brother on there.
That's her son.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Oh wow.
Yeah, and he done a lot of other stuff.
Was she way older than you?
Well, she's a couple years older than me.
Oh, just a couple. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, we dated for a while, and I used to always be her man. You know.
You gonna look it up.
I'm looking her up. Okay. Yeah. Tempo. Yeah. So how long were you dating her?
For a couple of years.
A couple of years. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it ended on couples therapy. Was that?
We still cool after that.
That's good.
Yeah, we're still cool after that.
Could you tell me more about the nagging though? Because I'm just going just for females in general. So you were talking about nagging. Like, how bad do we?
Somebody got to nag you for you to
like,
be like,
are we that bad? Like, do yeah. I just want to know
yes.
about the nagging? Well, I mean, how do y'all feel about it? Do you think you nag?
I don't personally, but see, you guys can see it differently.
Like if I was, if me and you was together and I was, let's say I was on my, I do extensive researching
okay.
and learning on YouTube. Like
okay.
I'm into a lot of
yeah,
metaphysical things.
Yeah, that's good.
And so if I'm like studying something on my phone or reading something and you ask me something but I'm on multitask
okay.
because I'm still talking to you, but I'm looking at that. But you get mad because I'm just.
I'm happy you educating yourself.
Oh, I'm
black.
No,
I'm happy you educating. I'll be like, oh, that's sexy. He's turning me on. He's learning.
Yeah, but in the moment.
Well, maybe
you
should have talked to her.
No, as long as. See, I'm not that needy. Everybody's different. I'm not that needy. I actually like my space.
Yeah.
So by all means.
Okay, well, see, that's it. See, maybe you should have gave her some game. Because she didn't like that.
Oh, wow.
She was getting upset about that and everything. And so I just was like, you know, she'd be tripping.
As long as you're not on the phone texting another chick or something.
No,
you
no,
know
no,
what
no.
I mean?
Definitely won't be disrespectful like that. Yeah. But she'll make it like that.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, so we, you know, but stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then you heard her when she said, in the midst of we wasn't really talking, I had a child.
Mm. What?
Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Okay.
But do we wasn't talking?
Oh, shit.
You know what I'm saying? We wasn't talking.
Child? How old is your child? It's
like
a girl,
eight.
Boy?
It's a little girl.
Oh, wow.
Little girl, about eight,
okay.
Something like that.
And what's up with you and the mom of that child?
We don't. I'm not dating her or nothing. She's
oh, okay.
cool.
Are you dating anyone? Are you single on this tour?
I'm not,
you want to know real bad, Rita.
I mean, that's what
you
the
know,
fans
I'm
want to know.
The fans do want to know.
See this?
I'm joking.
Yeah.
You see that?
Yep, we see that.
What finger's on?
Oh, so.
What?
Oh, okay.
To myself.
Oh, okay. I heard that.
The ring said Thugsy.
To myself. You see that, right? I'm married to myself.
Oh, my God. Man. You're in a numerology and astrology, right?
Yes, ma'am.
You have a degree in that, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yeah,
tell Tingy us about
gets
that.
Deep. My brother's deep.
You know, actually, like I said, since a kid, I'm one of them kids that I always want to know the origins and oracles of creation.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, looking at what is this all about? Mm-hmm. And so, just even when I was on the road, when I got my deal and stuff, I used to be studying and I was going to school, like, you know what I'm saying, to learn about astrology and stuff. I was just into the stars, planets, trying to see what this stuff is all about.
Yeah,
no doubt.
You know
no
what
doubt.
I mean? How it makes sense and, you know, how it makes sense with us.
And so do you feel like sometimes you can't have these conversations with people? Because I've heard a few times somebody will refer to you as like you doing drugs because you want to talk about numbers and numerology and different planets.
They try to dismiss it.
Yeah, they try to dismiss it. So do you, I mean, like, who do you talk to these things about? Or you just keep it to yourself or like have a circle?
Who I talk to them about, do I just keep it to myself? I'm always, and you can ask my crew, I'm always talking about this, trying to enlighten and give different perspectives of different concepts. Because, you know, we've been gave a certain way to look at things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, going back from preschool, elementary school, high school, it's like you get taught how to think, not to think.
Mm-hmm.
They teach you how to
yep.
think.
Mm-hmm.
They give you all the books. They give you the narrative. They tell you you was a slave and that's what you come from. And this European dude, he did everything and accomplished everything, found everything. We giving you your job. This is what you should study, and this is where you should go work work and do, and it's all their universities and all of this stuff, man. And I start deconditioning myself from all of that and taking a different path of learning to see what's really going on, because it's out there.
Yeah.
And did you ever get to link up with Nip and have any of those type of conversations? Because he's a very enlightened black man himself. So
did I hook up? No, I never hooked up with Nipsey Hussle. I knew he was very conscious, and I got friends that's his friends as well, that's very close to him, and we actually talked about doing a record. But unfortunately, this happened, and we'll never get that record done. But it ain't even really about the record now. You know what I'm saying? But no, we never got a chance to have that conversation. But he was a very enlightened being. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's the vibe out there in St. Louis now?
The vibe out there musically?
Yeah.
The vibe out there in St. Louis now is got a lot of talented people out there musically. A lot of talented people, actually. They doing the music, but the music scene is just not there. It's just not there. And so to grow there with music, they got to leave. You know, if the radio not supporting you as much, getting your music heard you got to branch out. You know what I'm saying? And I branched out, but I didn't branch out. Like Zoe, the producer, said he had a relationship with Chaka, you know, Chaka in Atlanta. So I kind of branched out, but we still was at home.
Yeah.
And that's how we made that all happen. But you definitely got to have network, have some connections other places.
Did you ever get back cool with Nelly and those guys?
Nelly, I got a couple shows coming up with Nelly.
Oh, cool.
Everybody, we good.
Oh, good.
Everybody
good.
It's just, you know, like I said, hatred is a powerful thing, you know? And I understand the polarity of like and dislike, love and hate. You know, it exists. Yeah. You just got to learn how to embrace it and deal with it.
No doubt.
You know what I'm saying? And unfortunately for me, a lot of people's hating on me. Hating on this little kid. You know, I come out doing my thing. I don't hate on people. There's no reason. It's out here for everybody.
Yep.
No doubt. Man, we're going to let you get up out of here, bruh. Where can we find you, brother? Where can people find you on social media, Chingy?
Where can people find me on social media? IG, I'll be mainly on IG, so it's at Chingy on IG. I'll be on Facebook a little bit too. I'll be on Twitter a little bit, but I'm mainly on IG. But you can hit me up at chingy.co as well and get you a Thur shirt and listen to some new music.
Did you bring some Thur shirts here?
I should have told you. I gotta get you one.
Yeah, you give me one.
The Hidden Colors.
I got all those for you.
I wish you'd have reminded.
I wish you'd have reminded
me. Yes, but I'm gonna make sure you get them.
No doubt, I know.
But I want to say something too, because brother Tyreek has been a very inspiration to me as well.
For sure. On my
journey with learning, looking at the Hidden Colors and everything, and watching them speak along with. Yeah, I know I was taught a lot of things by Dr. Phil Valentine.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I went to his school, the University of Commission Sciences, and I learned a lot. I got a lot of wisdom from Dr. Valentine, but also from Brother Tyreek here, because, you know, I follow him.
Yep.
I always followed him. It's been years and years, and the Hidden Colors and the different things he do. And so I want to say thank you,
man,
to
much
Brother
respect,
Tyreek,
bro.
Because, you know, an activist in his way.
And
entrepreneur. And, you know, a good brother.
Man, yeah, respect. Sure. That's why, you know, I've always respected your work. When all the scandal stuff came out, I spoke against that because I knew it was BS.
Yeah.
And I've always respected your grind because I saw how you moved. And I'm like, I like what this brother right here is doing as a young cat.
Yeah.
You dig?
Yeah.
So you move different. And even now, man, you don't think like the regular dude. You ain't out here on lean and
high and
talking crazy. And
I don't drink. I don't smoke.
That's so good.
I promote.
You just like
drink. I know. Yeah, that's why I fuck with him.
He just got to quit eating meat.
I know.
He'll get there.
Yeah, man.
My health. I'm very health conscious. I work out. I try to take care of myself. You know, I growing up, I just look at a lot of people and they be complaining how I look this way. I'm trying to get rid of this I feel like, and I just tell them, man, whatever you consume, and you need to start watching what you consume and putting it inside of you, because 9 times out of 10,
that's
what's being created on the surface of you, it comes from that. You know what I mean?
Here
so I just try to, like I said, I'm big on disciplining myself mentally.
Yeah, because backstage, when I went past Pretty
Seven
Ricky Room,
principles.
Yeah, I went past Pretty Ricky Room, I smelled buffalo wings.
You wanted to grab you one. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Wait, Jingy, why you didn't tell Tariq where the room was with all the desserts? The foreign catering.
Yeah. You know what? Sometimes catering be in different places.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes
so many corridors,
I don't even make it to catering when I come. I go on first, as you know, and sometimes I go on, man, I be ready to go after.
Yeah, you bounce. Yeah. You got the hell up out of there.
Yeah.
And I'm chilling there with Bobby B, trying to help him find his keys.
Really?
You silly.
Shout out to Bobby.
Bobby, that's my
fucking with it. Bobby's
actually,
my nigga. Yes.
Me and Bobby finna work on an album.
Oh,
that's what's up.
You got some new music.
That's what's up.
Going on.
Yeah, me and Bobby about to work. Yeah, me and Bobby about to work on an album. I'm working on a new project called Loyalty and Greed. I got this EP I'm finishing up called Frequency. And musically, I've been doing my music, just being independent. You know what I mean? And I think people should pay more attention to supporting the artist that's independent. I know when you get these big record deals and everything, they think it's top of the world. But really, you should support the independent artist because we benefit more from it.
No doubt.
Do you want to stay independent? Like, what if a record label came at you right now with like a really good deal?
Just hold on. It's all about strategically.
You never know.
Getting things to be on your terms and being business minded. For me now, it's about being business minded and making the correct moves.
Yep. No doubt. No
you
doubt.
Because I'm one of them people, like I said, I strictly do this for the love of music.
Yeah.
Yep. Everything else will come. You know, I'm passionate about what I do, compassionate about the music. Everything else just follow.
No doubt. Anyway, we're about to get out of here. Layla, where can we find you, dear?
At Miss Layla Lopez, MSLAILALOPEZ, IG.
And Bree, where can we find you?
You can find me at Bree.Aria, A-R-I-E-R, since...
Yeah, and Chingy, what's your Instagram? One more time to let the folks know.
My Instagram is at Chingy, and you also can hit me up, Chingy.co. That's my site right there.
That's what's up. And get my man's shirts, those their shirts right there.
No, 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 no.
Right.
No.
Their. Gotta say it right.
He's talking about their
shirts.
That's the European way of saying it.
You get those little Negro their shirts over there. Over there.
Their shirts.
Yes. Their. Yes.
I can't even say it right.
I don't know. And y'all follow me on Instagram at Tariq Elite. And we're going to holler at you guys next week. Y'all be good.